want to share with you a thought process, maybe as a message for us. Chazal say by the Ben Sarah Mara, Chazal say about the Ben Sarah Mara that there never was a Ben Sarah Mara and there never will be a Ben Sarah Mara. Sarah Mara is so why did the Torah write it? Dresh v'kabel schar. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean that the Bershom felt that there wasn't enough to learn in the Torah, so he had to add another parsha just in case he were bored. Right? So obviously the point means there's something very specific, a lesson we have to learn in the parsha of Ben Sarah Mara, that there's a message that's very significant. So Chazal Darshan and Shemeya B'Kaleinu, that's written in the Lashon of Kaleinu, that it's our Kol, not Kol Hoseinu, our Kolos, but our Kol. So Chazal said that the father and the, that there's only Ben Sarah Mara if the father and the mother have the same book, have the same Kol, which is one of the reasons why it's very rare to have a Ben Sarah Mara, because most of them don't have, men and women don't have the same Kol. And the Mora says if they have to have the same Kol, they also have to be Shalva B'Maro B'Kaima. They have to have the same height, and they have to have look the same. So by the time you're finished with that, very rarely will you have a Ben Sarah Mara, because that the father and the mother should have the same voice, the same height, and the same Mara, uncommon. But what's the point? What's the message? Okay, so now that's not there, what is the message? So Rav Hirsch, in his collected writings, he has a volume on Chinuch. So he has a section on talks about the Ben Sarah Mara. He says a fascinating thing, that you only can kill a Ben Sarah Mara if the parents have done everything that they have to do. If the parents are in some way at fault, we don't kill the child, because it means that he has not received the proper chinuch. We can then hope that if we find an individual who will give him the proper chinuch, we can rehabilitate him and correct him. If the parents have done everything appropriately and still the child ends up the way he is, so then why should we believe that anybody else is going to be more successful and we have to remove him? So what nakuda of chinuch is the pasuk stressing over here that's very significant, that if you don't have that, it's lacking, and therefore there cannot be a Ben Sarah Mara? The Kol, you find, in the Siddur Agra, in the Avnei Elio, it says over there that Shema Kolenu, the difference in a Kol is not Chituch Adibur, that's words, that's our words. Kolenu is the Kol which comes out from inside of the person. Yishma B'Kol Shofer, the Kol is the sound which comes out from inside of the being. That's the inner mahus of the being. So if the father's Kol and the mother's Kol are the same Kol, then that means the message which the child is hearing from both parents is the same message. So his maram is that the idea that they have the same kaima means they both have the same stature in the child's eyes. You have a situation where he respects the father, not the mother, vice versa. So there's going to be some element of chesaron in his chinuch, because the mila the mother is supposed to put in, or vice versa, is lacking because he doesn't respect her. So she's lacking in the kaima, in the sense of not the physical height, but the stature. But the kol has to be the same kol. So if you have a situation where one parent is being very soft with the child, one parent is being very harsh with the child, so the chinuch is lacking, and it's not the child. It's not the child's fault, and we have to find somebody out there who's going to be able to give him the proper chinuch, and we do not kill the child. He says, okay, that sounds very nice. But the nature of people is some people are more inclined to be soft. Sometimes the father is like that, and the mother is more harsh, and vice versa. So how do you get that the both parents should be holding with the exact same message to the child? And he has the line over there, you know, the mother says, wait till your father comes home, and you'll be in trouble. So that's a very bad chinuch. What type of message is that to the child? It means I can't handle it. And I don't mind so much, but your father's going to kill you, right? You know, that's not a good message, you know. But you know, and vice versa, you know. Sometimes it's the other way around. When your mother hears about this, you're going to be in trouble, right? Like, you know, it's not going to work. He says, but how do you do that? The Maisa people are different, you know. The Maisa agreeing on, you know, Yidden may or may that they don't agree with anything. They don't agree about anything. So how do you get that they should agree about something? The Maral says that you say the tefillah of the Rebbe Chaim ben Hakana. That you say this tefillah that he wrote in, they shouldn't say Al-Tomei Torah, but Torah Tomei, right? And this is the way the Rambam learns. It says every person should say this. I shouldn't say Altar Tomei Tor. I shouldn't be kosher b'dar halacha, and I Yisum be chaverai, and vice versa. So what's this conversation of Yisum be chaverai? Kosher means I should say the right thing, and Melech Chaverim will be happy. I shouldn't be nishal b'dar halacha, then Melech will be happy. He says, no, no, it's the opposite. The nature of Jews is, if Reuben says A, Shimon says B. So if I'm wrong, he's right. So he's going to have a hano over me. To the point he'll gloat, and maybe he'll get punished from Shemayim for gloating over my mistake. That's what you're davening for. He says, what's that kind of pshat? He says, because for Riba Yatara only comes if Reuben says A and Shimon says B, and maybe we challenge each other. But if I say A and Shimon says A, so what's the accomplishment? The Kunt says, I say A, and Shimon says B. So I said, it can't be B, because I'll bring a Raya, it can't be B. So I said, no, it could be B, I'll bring a Raya, it could be B. So there's a Ribi of Torah. So Russian made Jews, that the nature of Jews is we're contentious. But Dafka. So that applies to men and women, husband and wives also. Anybody, you know, the Welt says that marriage is not as good as Baruch Hashem Tikkun, it's not as bad as you might say it is. So it's not that bad. But Khmeinish, that it's, you know, perfect. You know, Khmeinish. The Rebbe Tauber, I heard once, give it a Hishtalsis of the Worm, good. So I traveled to Chasta in Muncie, it was in the. So I had to get from here to Muncie without driving, going by public transportation is a headache. Because there's no real way to do it. So unless you want to take the red and tan line from Port Authority. Or the Muncie bus from whatever. So Maisa, the Chasna party was staying, was from Chicago, the Chasna side, and they were all staying in Newark by the airport. So they arranged a bus going from Newark, the airport, to the Chasna. I said, great, I'll take the train to Newark Airport. I'll take the bus. So I got to this bus, and there's like 35 people on this bus who know each other very intimately, and me. And the bus driver. So I shoes with the bus driver the whole way. It was one seat tour's guy. I shoes with the bus driver the whole way. Because like he also didn't know anybody else. You know, this is where people like talking to each other, totally ignoring me. And, you know, I mean, I could push myself in, but whatever, you know. And I had the bus driver. So the bus driver told me he used to be the private driver for Rabbi Israel Tauber, Shlita. So I was milking him for things that he heard from Rabbi Israel Tauber. I see I'm getting this look. Who was Rabbi Israel Tauber? Like, you know, okay. You go back 20 years ago, everybody knew, he heard of his name. He and Rav Shimshon Pinkas, were the people who started Chalhevis, this organization for Kirov. Rav Shimshon Pinkas speaker, he has thousands of, something called tapes, that they used to use. They're in the Smithsonian now, you can see them, right? And some people still use them, there's a few people, because you know, they haven't converted them yet, right? So they have thousands of tapes from him. Rav Shimshon Pinkas, they have the English Swarm, Hebrew Swarm. So he one time, this individual, this driver, had Shalom Bayis. So he asked Rabbi Tauber advice for Shalom Bayis. So he asked, Rabbi Tauber asked the driver, he says, have you ever seen how they polish diamonds? He says, no. So Rabbi Tauber was a busy, he was a businessman. He was a Talmud Chacham Muflik, but he was a businessman. So he says, he said, you go to, what they do is they take a raw diamond, and you have a person who's an expert, and he puts it into a vise, and they put this pressure on it in the right spot, and it breaks the diamond into two. So now you have two raw diamonds. So the next step is to polish them. So you have to polish a diamond. There's nothing as hard as a diamond. Diamond is the hardest substance known to man. So the only thing which polishes a diamond is a diamond. Which diamond do you use? You use the two halves. So if the diamond cutter got it right, he broke in the right spot, they'll polish each other, and you get this beautiful polished diamond. So he says, the Bereshim took out a machab, and he ripped them apart right at the right spot. You rub them against each other, and you get polished diamonds. The goal is not to have this marriage where there's no problems. You know, the Maisa, which they say from Shlomo Zalman, by his wife's levaya, he got up and he said to the minig is to ask b'kasha mechila from the spouse, b'shas the p'tira. I'm not asking mechila because there's nothing in our 50 plus years of marriage that we never once got into a disagreement. So one of Montan told me this story. He says, that's a beautiful story. It's Kamat also to say the story over, and it's totally irrelevant for 99.9%. What does it help for me? I already had a fight with my wife. Now what? So what does it help me? What does it teach me? It teaches me that I'm an apple. You know, like, I need somebody who would talk a had fights with his wife and learn how to deal with it. He should teach me how to deal with it. That's what I need. I don't need somebody that, you know, that never had a fight with his wife. So the Bereshit made his contention. So how in the world do you have this father and this mother? The Gemara said the exact same message to the kid. Punch him, not try it. It's not trying. Good, so that's tacos. Oh, yeah, there never was. But at the point of the Jerusalem Kabbal Scar is that he teach a message to the parents that this is what they're supposed to strive for. How are they supposed to do it? So he says it's Poshit. if your total goal in life is just to be Eisa Ratzon of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's all you want to do. So you're Ratzon, you're Ratzon, because you're Ratzon of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you always do the right thing. And they both come up with the same answer, because it's the Ratzon of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So simple. Huh? Well, how do you, that now what? So how in the world do you do Eisa Ratzon of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? I mean, what does it mean you're Mevatel Ratzon? So you, very simply, you open up the Chazal, you open up Torah, you open up your Chaim Shmulevitz, you know, he tells you what to do, right? It doesn't work like that. So some of you have been already, I told you my story about the color war in Tel Aviv, right? So color war in Tel Aviv, I'm sitting in the Tel Aviv has a camp for the boys in the summertime, Camp Kultura. They take over most of the campus. They don't touch the Beis Medrash, Baruch Hashem. Beis Medrash, you can still, you know, function. So I'm sitting there in Beis Medrash one day, and all of a sudden, it's toward the end of the camp, and there's three boys, like 14, 15, come running in. They're looking for Rabbi Reingold. Okay, finally somebody points them in my direction. What can I do for you? They're having called the war, and they have the two teams, whatever the two teams are, I think they're called. Let's say Zrizus and Hisbananus. Okay, right? So the part of the thing that they have to make banners from Chazals for their team. So the general of the team sent them to Beis Medrash to find Rabbi Reingold. Rabbi Reingold should show them some Chazals about the importance of Zrizus. Okay, very good. So I find them three Chazals about the importance of Zrizus. They pick the ones that they liked. They're very happy and they leave. Half an hour, the guys who are for Hisbananus finally made its way to Beis Medrash. Because they weren't Zrizus, they were Hisbananus, right? And they come to Tzedr, so they come in slowly, looking for Rabbi Reingold, right? Because he's being Hisbananus. And somebody points him to Rabbi Reingold, and they ask him, what can you do for me? What can I do for you? So they tell me that they need three Chazals about the importance of Hisbananus. So I finally give them three Chazals about the importance of Hisbananus, and they're very happy, and they go back to their team. Okay, so then everybody's very happy, except for me, because I just found three Chazals about how important Zrizus is. Three Chazals about how important Hisbananus is. So which one's right? So it says it's a very scary thing. So if a person by nature that's very Zoristic a person and he never stops and thinks, he can bring all the Chazals in the world about how Jesus is important. He's got all these Chazals. Jesus. And the guy was like, Pasha, you never get him to move anything. He's always thinking. He's got all the Chazals about the importance. He's Pashas Kamayim Multaiser, you know, the Kalisa Mishkei Avicha, you know, he has it all about, you know, Hisbananus, you know. So what's supposed to happen? And then you have chazals like this, you have chazals like that. So whatever you want, you're going to find a chazal to support you. Right? What's supposed to happen? So Rabbi Aaron Taka told us, Rabbi Aaron one time, he says there was a bacher in the mirror. Taka had this nakud of his brother who was pushed. You could not get him to decide anything. He would think it over and think it over and overthink it and think it over and think it over. He'd overthink it. So he goes to Shmuz for Rav Chaim Shlomo Taka Parshas Vayechi, and Rav Chaim gives this major Shmuz says Pachas Chaim Al Toisar. You have to think before you do something. He comes back. You see, Rav Chaim said I'm right. You guys are telling me I need to move a little more, make decisions. Rav Chaim said I'm right. It's got the Shmuz of them, you know. Shkayat. Now what? There's a word from Reb Dessler. Reb Dessler says Rav Shach also in his letters says the same word. Reb Dessler says in Mitzvah Yo, it's a Taka Pelad Gazach. Dabas initial of the art. Dabas initial of the Levim, the initial of the Chachamim, the Pershua, the Kosh Baruch Hu, the Atzma, the Pershua, Allah's Amas Torahsi. So let's get this straight. So that means there's this final yid over here who was living in this man right before the Korban, and he wants to know what's the right thing to do. So he goes to the Novi, he says, anything wrong? He says, no, you're fine. Pasha, I don't see anything wrong with you. No problems with you. He goes to the Chachamim, no, everything is wonderful. I see no problems with you. All of a sudden, the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. He said, what happened? I don't know. The Levim said, I don't know. The Chacham said, I don't know. So what do you want from the poor guy? He tried. He went to the Chacham. He went to the Navi. They said, everything is fine. They didn't see any problems. So why did the Rosh Hashanah destroy the Beis Hamikdash? What do you want from the person? He says, Vais Tachais, that if you really want to find the Amos, you'll find the Amos. That's what he said. That's what Dasha says. Vais Tachais, that Nach the Chacham doesn't know. Nach the Navi doesn't know. But you can know. Teeth, you know there's something wrong, and if you really want to find the answer, you'll find the answer. But that's quite a challenge. Because I have all the chazals that I'm right. You know, my nature, I happen to be my client, I happen to be a very verbose person. Right? So I'll be all the chazals, importance of, you know, being on the chaveiro, connecting with people, and, you know, I have all the chazals in my pocket. This other guy, he happens to be a very reticent person. He happens to be a very quiet person. And, you know, he has the chazals about the importance, you know. Shtika is a mile of shtika, you know. that's not the answer. The answer is, what does the Bereshit want from me? That's the kasha. That's takashir kasha. So what do you do? So Rav Volba has a fascinating thing in Alei Shor Chelev Beis. So he talks about there's Liman HaMusar and there's Avodah HaMusaris. Liman HaMusar is Liman HaMusar. That itself is quite a challenge to learn Musar appropriately and properly. And that he has pages and pages on that. But then he says, after you got to the process of Liman HaMusar, getting it right, something called Avodah HaMusar. And he says, before you start Avodah HaMusar, we have to learn something. He says, you don't get it right. He says, after, like, you know, he goes to, like, he did this with a group of Talmidim. He did it in a series of Vadim, and they would give him a practical thing that they have to work on for weeks, etc. He said they spent 6 months on this avoda. He says, if end of all this, Mishlo Yitzchak was there, Abenu Masuga Lamed Bo, you don't seem to be getting anywhere with it. Yachto Klil Me Avoda Musari, Sviya Yehudi Toy Beladel. You know, be a good Jew, but just stay away from Musar, please. All right? This is it. Everything else in the Sefer, you stop here, please close the book, and get out of here. That's what he writes. This Amida called, and what's this Amida? This Amida is called Hislamdus. The person's in a state of being a learner. He says, one of the challenges you have in the Avodas HaMusar is a person, Taka really works on himself, so there's a potential soaring of Gaiva. You know, I'm talking, you know, I'm growing, I'm getting better. Look at this guy next to me, he's just pushing on my arts, you know. One of the challenges, I probably should turn off the recorder before I say this. One of the challenges you have B'nai Torah, Gabal, there's nothing like a Ben Torah. Right? Ben Torah comes in Maga with a Balabas. See, he has two choices. He has one choice. He says, you know, I'm a Ben Torah, and he's a Balabas. Taka, you're a Ben Torah, it's a Balabas. So Shiva used to talk about the Shiva's a Ben Torah. Ben Torah is the elite of Klal Yisrael. Melam Shuz one time, he said, Rebbe Leizer Telzer said, you have to stand in Europe before Telz. The Bacham, they didn't have like a regular yeshiva. The Loshin was the first yeshiva. The Rav of the Talmidim. They come to the shtetl. They put them up by people's houses. They would eat tag by people's houses. They're basically begging them for food. And people look down, but that we're looking down at the Ben Torah. The Nebuchadnezzar, he can't get a job. He doesn't know how to do anything, etc. Came along, Rav Leizer Telzer, and he made a dining room. And he gave the Bacham, he started giving the Bacham a stipend that they could pay. They paid for the rooms. And they didn't get anything for free. So he says, Ichtuana Vinabachim Epiletin. So Rashiva said this over in Shmuel, and he's got this look from everybody, he says, yeah, what does that mean? He says, I'm putting epilets in my bachim. So he got right there, look what epilets means. He says, who knows what the word epilet means? You know, like, Rabbi Epilet, and like, I'm not sure what he wanted exactly. We should get up and answer the question in front of all the bachim and all the Shmuel. But no, anyway, all right. Go for it. Epilets. Good. All right. It's what the generals wear on their shoulders, the shoulder patches with the beautiful cord over there. He says, I'm making the kosher. It's taka gal the kosher bazach. So how do you prevent the bachar from looking down at the balabas? How do you make sure that the bachar looks at the balabas and says, you know what, he has what to teach me also. He's a Pashur Yid, and he has what to teach me. So the Altav and Kelim says that everybody has a certain feel in his fields, right? You know, you walk into a room, you have a few people, one guy's a tailor, one guy's a shoemaker, one guy's and somebody walks in, so the shoemaker notices the shoes, and the tailor notices the suit, the cloth of the suit. And each person notices what he's a bucky at. What's a chacham supposed to notice? Chachma is a lemon mikol adam. He's supposed to notice chachma, the chachma that's there. Mikom alamda hiskalti. There's nobody in the world who can't teach you something. Nobody. The most pasha the balabas, the most pasha the amoritz, the most pasha the avrayan has what to teach you. You are in a state of being a learner. In Yiddish, it's a fascinating thing that the word for Chazal Talmud Chacham. What does the word chacham mean in Yiddish? It means a person is full of himself and he's too smart. Ah, he's a chacham. A chacham is a person who thinks he's there already. He knows it all. We look down at that. That's that. We're talmid chacham. We're talmidim. Chokhmah is to be a counsel, it's constantly to be understand that you have so much more to do. That's a very big challenge, because it's very frustrating, because then you're like, you know, you never get there. They keep moving the target. Like, that's one of the challenges of accomplishments in yeshiva. A person has to feel good about his accomplishments. So, I mean, I grew up in a Muslim yeshiva, so you never got a chance to feel good about your accomplishments, because they always told you how much more you need to do, and how bad you are, and how much more you don't know, and how much, you know, that was part of the shmuzer shmuz, you know. And it was very challenging. So the person has to find the balance. Rav Olber writes that you can't have a younger bacher working on gaiva, because bacher needs gaiva. He needs taka to have a chashivus to himself. But you can't become a bagaiva. So what's the balance? You have to find a balance. He talked about a balance, how to find a balance. That's not the shmuz. But that the goal in life is to absorb chokhmah, and there's so much chokhmah to know. So yeah, if we're going to sit there and be frustrated, you know, there's so much more to know. Like, you know, we should be happy what we've accomplished, but that it should ever say that we're there and there's not more to, so much more to do. The chokhmah notices chokhmah. That's Islamdus. That there's always what more to learn. I've been davening since I'm let's say 5-6 years old. Did I ever relearn how to daven? Think about it. Maybe there's a new way. Maybe there's something more I can learn. I one time said that the latznu, right? What's latznu? I'm a letz. I mean, I am. Okay, but not me. But you know, the average bacher talk is not a letz, right? You know, so I'm a, what's latznu? See, here's about a frumkeit or a minig that, you know, some people have. Yeah, they're so frum, a sugar, they're so frum. That's latznu. You can't, if you're not going to master something, you can't learn from it. Once I had a conversation, you know, I have my good litvox over here, you know, the cynics, they're making fun of Nittelnacht. You know, Nittelnacht is weird. For litvox, it's like a strange thing, you know. You don't learn Torah, so, you know, but, because it's too it's muzar to litvak. I said, you know what, you're right. But can't you learn from that, the zahiris, to stay away from the world of tumah, the world of avodah zarah? Isn't there what to learn? So you'll apply it your own way, fine. But there's always something to learn from something. You're always in a learning mode. So a husband comes into a marriage and he says, you know, I understand, you know, I get it. I'm very logical and all thought out. Here's the whole cheshbon, and she's very emotional. And right? They're not going to be shalom bayis over there. They're not going to have one message for the kids. Right? The husband listens. He says, you know, my wife might know something I don't know. She has an insight which I didn't get. You know what? My kids might know something I don't know. They might understand something I don't understand. Maybe I'll try to understand why they're doing what they're doing, and they might really learn something from them. If at least just understand where they're coming from. So that's a whole different, that's I'm not talking to them. I'm hearing from them. I'm not talking at them. I'm talking to them then. That's the problem of the Ben Sermer, because when we talk at the child, it doesn't go. And we hope one day there'll be somebody who'll be able to talk to the child. Who will hear what the child has to, hear the child, hear his call, and give him back a different call. But that you can't hear his call if you're talking at the child. Well, if you're busy talking and not learning and not absorbing, you are not going to hear your wife. You're not going to hear the child. You're not going to hear your chavrusa. You're not going to hear your Rebbe. You're not going to hear anybody. And that's the meat of Islam. I'm sure the Kazakh. We're talking about Shabbos, we're talking about a Kabbalah for the year. And so the Kabbalah for the year is the Bacher's Kabbalah for the year. He should be a good Bacher. That's, you know, there's no, the goal isn't that you should become, you know, Rav Aryeh Levine overnight. Please, you know, that's not a goal. Right? Not even over a few years, you know. The goal is you should be you. Right now, your job, I told you that, you know, the year that I became a Rebbe, tells a Yeshiva. So I said, you know, my Kabbalah for the year was I should be a good Rebbe. That's the Russian put, that's the role the Russian put me in. So I should do it as best as I can. A bacher's opportunity right now is the opportunity to learn Islamdus. Learning the Harusa is the most, one of the most challenging areas. Right? Rav Olber says you can't work in Gaiva, but one of the ways that automatically you work in Gaiva is with a Harusa. Right? We all have the experience. You learn Harusa and you say your Pshat in the morning, he says his Pshat in the Gemara. So So Rav Shlomo writes a letter, Matar Lishma, Lima Tar Lishma. He says, what's the definition of Lima Tar Lishma? Lima Tar Lishma, the first half, he said there's two stages in it. The first half is a Lima which he calls gifta. Gifta is a Yiddish word which means like intensity. So, you know, you get worked up. Rav Shimon Chaim used to always, Zichron Lebracha, used to always get upset at the Bracha and learn too quietly. You have to yell at your Chavrusa. Right? You got to yell at the Chavrusa. You got to get on your nerves. Like, you know, how in the world can you look at more like this? What are you thinking? It's not Shad the Gemara. Now, some Sofer says that the goal is not to keep repeating the same arguments over and over again. That's called broken record. That's not called a conversation. Like, you hear sometimes, you hear these conversations, you know, it's partially, it sounds like that, you know. But they don't hear it like that because they're too busy talking at the other person. Not talking to another, they're talking at the other person. The person's talking to another person. I said, you heard that already, so why are we repeating this yourself already? So the goal is to get to the point where I very clearly have explained to the other person why I believe what I said is true. I've attempted to answer all of his questions. And vice versa. Now we both understand both opinions, and now we make a decision. That's the goal. But don't give in. Because, you know, I think Shlomo says, no, you're wrong. Okay, whatever. Like, what do you mean, whatever? Put your ego into it for a second. Say, what do you mean? I thought of a shot. I think maybe I'm right. Let me think why. How can I answer your kasha? Well, maybe you feel like this. No, that can't be true. I'll bring a raya. You're being marbatara. You're working to get that closer and closer to the emes. Because the more he challenges you, and the more you answer, the more you're mavar, and you push it, get it down to the nakuda. This is taka, not the point. This is not the point, but this is the point. It's very challenging. Okay, now you've been going at it for half an hour, and you know, but by now you're a little bit worked up. Your face got red a little bit, and you call him a few names along the way. Also, you're like, you know, and you realize he's right. What do you say? You say, thank you so much. Now we know the emes. I really appreciate the fact that you forced me to find the emes. Yeah, I really appreciate it. Most people say, no, that's not what they say. They say, echer. Right, that's as far as I can say. And then, say, v'pemole, you are right and I am wrong. Thank you. No, chas v'sholom. It's like, that's like probably worse than, you know, like, you know, Neilim Kippur, you know. Like, that's how you take care of your guy who we're learning with the Harusa. That's the meaning of Islamdus. This guy, which for now you've been convinced this Pasha, he's Pasha, you don't know what happened to his brains. You Pasha, it's a Nebuchadnezzar. Like, you know, he was born, you realize that he's not talking us so stupid, and you're the one who's stupid, and he got it right. That's the training of a yeshiva. And when it happens once, and it happens 10 times, so maybe you should learn to do it with your wife also, and do it with your kids also, and do it with the balabas and the shul also, because maybe Taki also has something intelligent more than you. No, for sure, I'm right this time. I had a maestro, I had a balabas. I sang a shir for balabatim in Cleveland. Beginner's Gemara. So there were 6 guys in the shir. 5 of them were really tshuva. They never had learned in yeshiva. They had very little background. Sweetest guys in the world. There's one guy who was a shana pirish. He learned the yeshiva for X amount. He had a very bad experience in yeshiva. He had a very bad taste for yeshiva people. You know, he came in with a chip with the chip on his shoulder. And every week he came in, his goal was to prove how the Gemara was wrong. Like, that was the goal. Right? The fellow's name was Eddie. So, B'siyat HaShemayah, the first week I answered to him why maybe the Gemara is not wrong, and maybe he's seeing it incorrectly, and this is the way the Gemara makes sense. Okay, the next week the same thing happened again. After like the 13th week, I was pushed sick and tired of it. I pushed, couldn't take it anymore. So I said, Eddie, so, you know, listen, I don't mind you asking any question you want to. You can ask the question, fine, it's no problem. But ask the question, like, you realize the last 13 weeks, you've asked questions with this intensity of clearly the Gemara is wrong and you're right, and I've answered you why that's not true. So just ask it, you know, you have a question, the Gemara, don't have to make it like the Gemara is wrong. He says, no, but this time the Gemara is wrong. Like, that was his answer. The purpose of Limud and Yeshiva is to train you, the Gemara is not wrong. Your Karus is not wrong necessarily either. The Rabbi is not wrong, The Rebbe is not wrong, the Rav is not wrong. The balabas is next to you is wrong. Your wife is not wrong. Your kids aren't wrong. Maybe the problem is you. It happened enough times the base matters that you realize that Taka, you missed the point. You didn't chop something. That forces you to learn to be a Islamic. That you're in a state of mode of learning from other people. Instead of being a fartika, being a chacham, you're a talmud chacham. You're a talmud. And the greatest title we can give to a person, he's a Talmud. That husband and that wife, who will be constantly listening to each other and learning from each other and realize that maybe that they have somebody else has an insight, they're going to find what the Bresham wants them to do. They're going to hear Kadosh Baruch Hu's voice also. Because they're not coming in with, I'm right, what's the Chazal says that I'm right? They're coming in, I don't have no idea. Russian, please tell me what to do. I want to hear what you have to say. Please teach me. Help me find the emes. Help me understand what your rotzen is. And then I will do it. It doesn't come from an excuse of a lack of self-esteem. It comes from a confidence that I have the strength to find the emes, and I have the strength to admit that I want to tell you something about this issue. Why do you say Iker? Why do you say you're right? Because it's felt and covet, right? Now, besides you, every person around you will look at you which way. If you would say, you know what? I realize that you're right and I'm wrong. You say that, or you say Iker. Which one do you get more covet for? Honestly. For admitting that you're wrong. Not for saying Iker. Because it means you're stuck in your gaiva. The guy says, you know what? Baruch Hashem, we finally found the emes. I appreciate it so much. Yes, I was wrong. Wow. Tremendous respect. It's not from loneliness to admit that you're wrong. It's from godless. It's a trust that you are strong enough that you're not affected negatively by the fact that you made a mistake. I'm still a good human being. Why do people resist admitting? Because they take it as an attack on their being. There's something wrong with me if I admit that there's something wrong, because my definition of myself is I'm perfect. Maisa, I told you all this. Maisa was I have a chaver who's works in Kiruv. He's Valetza. He's a very, very powerful person. That's his nature. He gets a phone call from somebody in a phone booth. Again, that's something which they have in the Smithsonian. You can look it up. All right. From a guy in Lakewood, maybe Lakewood, they still have phone booths, I don't know. That the fellow is contemplating, well, then he's contemplating suicide. He has so many errors and so many different things he's doing wrong, he just wants to get it over with, etc. Right? So he's getting a phone call. This fellow said, somebody told me to call you because maybe you'll give me a way to deal with this. Like, this is great. So he's standing on the, he's basically saying this, I'm on the bridge, I'm going to jump unless you come up with a good idea to tell me why I shouldn't. Like, that's the conversation. I wouldn't want to be able to receive me on that phone call. But I can guarantee you I would not have said what he said. He says, you know what your problem is? You're Bal Gaiva. He says, what? I mean, all the affairs. He says, no. You thought you were Moshe Rabbeinu, and you realize that you're not Moshe Rabbeinu, and you're so upset that punching you got going out of your mind. You know what? You're a human being to start with constraints and problems, and right, human being with a problem. What's the problem? What's wrong with you? That's what he said. He was so right. When we fail, we take it as an attack on our person. Because we thought we were talking very, very chashuv, and we realize that we're not. And pashut is destruction. You know what? You're talking ever so chashuv. And that's okay. You know what? You're a human being. You make mistakes. You know what? So does everybody else in this room. So move on with life. Be comfortable with who you are. And then when your wife points out to you why you're wrong, you say, thank you very much. Yeah, it hurts a little bit. But I'm ashu. But you move on with life. Like that's like, I don't know. And you know what? You get much more respect from your wife, which is what you really want deep down. You want your wife to respect you. Like, try to explain to you why you really believe that you were right, and why you thought like that, and why you what your mistake was, and how it's not your fault. And you know, like, really. You get a lot of respect from your wife from that. She's going to say, well, I have a stubborn ox as a husband who can't admit that he makes a mistake. Grace are covered. Be comfortable with yourself. You know what? We're human beings. Yes, we are human beings. We make mistakes all the time. The Russian did not make us perfect. The Russian was perfect. We human beings are fallible. Okay, good. Now what? So, Baruch Hashem, this mistake, I clarified. I am so much happier. The pshat in the Gemara, the pshat in how to deal with my child, the pshat in what the message. And now I can start learning for everybody around me. And now I can start learning from a sitter. What's the sitter talking to me? What is the Baal Chai saying to me? You can learn tzniyas from the chasul. I have to tell you, an average bracha nowadays is not going to learn tzniyas from the chasul. Like, really? First, he doesn't know what a chasul is. He doesn't know how it works either. But even if he did, it's a behema. It's just It's a behema. The Rosh Hashanah made it with Chachma. There's so much to learn from it. Like, really? If we're Tamid Chachma, we're Tamidim, and we want to learn, there's everything can teach you something. That's the meat of Islam. And Rabbi Volba says, if you can't get that, please don't do Avodah Musaris. Be a fine Jew. Daven three times a day, put on tefillin, give tzedakah, and have a good day. The Zion Gebenched. That's what he says. I mean, I didn't write it. Mashkiach said it. He knows talking about man much better than I do. That's, I think, the message from Ben Sarah Murrah. The Joshua Kabbal Schar is that we shouldn't be so vulnerable, that it's difficult to learn a lesson from our partner, from the next door neighbor, says, you're not really handling your son right. Chutzpah, machutzah, tell me what the hell am I doing with my son? Thank you very much. You know, let me hear what you have to say. Now, I've seen how he handles his son. He knows about how to deal with children. You're right, maybe he doesn't. But maybe at this point he chaps something you don't chap, because you're a gay bedover. I want to hear what he has to say. And if he's taka mechutzah enough to come and tell me about it, I might as well listen already. What do you lose? That person will find what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants him to do, and the husband and wife will have the same message to the child, and that child won't be a ben sarer. Because what's a ben sarer? He's being sarer mi'ovev. He doesn't listen to his father. Umare, he gives it his own directions. He's a 13-year-old who's fartig. He already knows how to deal with the world. Where did he learn it from? Excuse me, where do you think he learned it from? From his tata. That's where he learned it from. Because he saw every time his mother tried to explain something to his father. His father says, what are you talking about? So he's going to have respect for his mother. And he's going to learn that, you know, that godless is, the search of Chochmah is to admit that you don't know. What did he learn? He learned from his father. His father is, you know, the Chabal Gaiva, and cannot admit anything wrong. So he does the same thing. So he's the Ben Sarah Murrah, the Shkoyach. That's the way you want to teach your kids. You ever make a mistake in front of you? It's interesting, chinuch shayla. I'm not passing on the shayla. You make a mistake, right? What do you do? Do you tell your kids? So one thought, because, you know, cover of the father, you have to make a you don't make a mistake. It's passnish. Now, there might be a geese over there also. You know, it's just very possible there's a geese over there. But you know what? If you tell your son, you know, I made a mistake. Human beings make mistakes. It's okay to make a mistake. It's such a chush of a message. It's such a chush of a message. It's okay to make mistakes. You know, my son, you'll make mistakes also. You know, I'll make mistakes training you also. And if I do, I'll say I'm sorry. And I'll try to do better next time. So what will the child learn? That we make mistakes, and you move on with life, and you're trying to do better next time, and you'll grow from it. It's a hush of a message. That child won't be a ben sarer. Because that child saw what it means to be a listener, what it means to be a Talmud. We should be zoich ataka that the Kabbalah for the year, we should talk to be Tamidim. Tamidim from our Chaverim, Tamidim from our Rebbeim, to meet him from the dog in the street, right? Everything has something to teach you. I'm saying shikul the sons because the mice, you know. But I'm serious. Everything has something to teach you. And the siddur has something to teach you. Every time you open the siddur, there's something. There's a new message for you. Every day there's a new message. Yours should be different. You're the exact same thing as yesterday. So isn't there something, a new message in the siddur for you? Isn't there a message? What is the message that tefillin says to you? What does tefillin say to you? There's so much to learn. There's so much to absorb. There's so much that the Baruch gave this tremendous bracha. There's so many ways to learn, and so many opportunities to learn. And don't be impervious, but out of absorb of them. Not because you're inevitable, because you're strong enough and big enough to say, I want to grow more. I don't feel damaged if I say that I don't know. That's normal. And I will absorb, and I will absorb, and Taki will come, a Talmud Chacham Nesheshim.